We got you covered. Amen. When I drop my cheese too there.
All right.
I have.
You good?
I said cheese all over the house. Because you know all that is. Carry it over.
Not anymore, I do.
Good morning and Happy New Year. You used to find out if you're with it or not when you start writing out your checks. What year do you write down? I don't know how many checks you write anymore, but anyway, we're glad to have you with us today. I didn't know Everybody stayed up, watched the ball drop, and rolled over this morning when the alarm went off or what. But anyway, good to have you here. All right, so we're going to start singing here. 505, Love Lifted Me.
Well, good morning, everyone. Boy, what a beautiful day. No snow out there, although I feel bad because my wife can't use her Christmas present of that brand new snow blower I bought for her. So if you wouldn't mind standing, and we'll sing all three verses of Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep in pain within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted.
Verse 2.
All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He, the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
And if you don't mind turning back your hymnal to hymn number 190, we'll sing all four verses. Hymn number 190, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Did you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? Are your garments Spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, so you can, a couple prayer requests you could keep in mind. Tuesday is a travel day. Sandy is to fly back. I checked, she's not on Southwest Airlines. But apparently American has some problems too. But anyway, she flies back from Texas on Tuesday. Michelle's mom and dad have got the car packed, ready to go. Heading back to Florida, so you might pray for them as they travel home. Good to see Tyler and Lindsay and the family back here, and her folks made it safely back to Wyoming, so now they can hibernate for the winter, right? He was saying that when they got to Nebraska, they were going to spend the night, and the freeway or the interstate was closed going to Wyoming, but it opened up in time for them to get there, so... Just never know this time of year, right? All right. And Allie goes back to Michigan, back to snowbound Michigan. Maybe it melts over there too, you know, but on Saturday. So if you think to pray for these folks. All right. At this point, we're going to go into our communion. Everybody have... Ta-da! Yes? I didn't get my head start here. We'll have to have a new sign up. You have to peel the top piece back. Of course, I guess that kind of defeats the purpose of not everybody touching it, right? Put your hands in boiling water and then peel that top layer back here. So, okay, one of these days I'll quit making jokes about that. Okay. We see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talking to the Corinthian believers and sharing with them what had the Lord brought to his attention and about that Last Supper. Sometimes we read this latter part, sometimes not, but we'll read it here today. It tells us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we need to judge ourselves and that we need to examine ourselves. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. Look at our own hearts and lives. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any hunger, let him eat at home, and ye may come not together into condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come. So basically, he's looking at that we examine our own hearts and lives to make sure that as we're partaking of this communion, that we're doing so with a clean heart before the Lord. And that's something, you have a few moments here. We don't have as much time when we're not passing the elements. But if there are things you need to talk to the Lord about, deal with, do so before you partake of this. All right, we see back earlier on here in verse 23. Excuse me. I'll apologize here to begin with. I may cough a few times through the day. It's cold. It's winter in Wisconsin. It was my turn. We've got down to the W's now. Okay. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for what it represents, the body of the Lord Jesus, as he went to the cross for us to be our substitute, to die in our place. Your word tells us that the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die because of our sin. And yet Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us, so that we wouldn't have to die and be eternally separated from him. And Lord, we just pray you help us to remember what Jesus has done for us and what he's able to accomplish there on the cross as we partake of this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cup. We thank you for, again, what it represents, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that your word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sins. My blood or nobody else here's blood could accomplish that, but the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, sinless blood, is able to cleanse away our sins, past, present, future. We thank you for the salvation that is provided for us through the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this cup now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Okay, we have a couple of songs, choruses. We're going to give thanks. We're going to sing about giving thanks while we're waiting for this to wake up. Anybody have a particular thing they want to thank the Lord for? Yes, sir.
I'm thankful there's no snow.
Yeah, isn't it great to look out the window and see green grass? I mean, this is
sure is awesome.
All right. Now, for those who've got a new snow blower or a snowmobile, sorry about that. Your turn will come. We're not done yet.
Yes, ma'am. I'm thankful for health this time. I guess this time last year, Bob and I both had COVID. We're healthy this year. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there, done that, right? Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm thankful I don't live on the East Coast, especially
Buffalo.
Snow forever.
Yeah. What was it? I heard they got 2 feet and they were looking for a couple more or something. I don't know. No offense, but I kind of want Same kind of thing when people say, I want to move up north. Why? Why? Longer winters, more...
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm thankful that the Lord got us out fit to help us to enter Diana into our family. She's been a wonderful blessing for the last almost 9 years.
So we're approaching 10, aren't we?
No, actually, we're approaching. I think we picked her up when she was a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and I'm also thankful for Gavin becoming part of our family for a while.
All right, great. All right, big sister. No. Somebody else to blame things on, right? Share the blame now. Yes, Mark.
I'm thankful for our church family and thankful for the Lord's truth that led me out of my sin into his salvation. I'm very, very grateful for the life change that he put.
Amen. We touch on that later on. Where would we be today if the Lord hadn't provided salvation for us? Okay, give thanks. Probably ought to stand for that, huh? Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for caring for us through this past year. A few bumps along the way, and how you continue to watch over and care for us, meet our needs, protect us. As we come into this new year, we are looking forward to you continuing that care. We know we can count on you. They talk about the only thing you're sure of is death and taxes. Well, there's a whole lot more than that. For the Christian, we can be confident that you're there for us no matter what may come. So we pray that you guide us as we think about the matter of change and changes that come into our lives and being prepared for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question is, how well are we prepared for change? Lots of things happen, and on a regular basis around here, get big city, a lot of people, a lot of things going on. A couple of tragic events that, again, that I happened to hear about one way or another. And this past week, I read another one last night about a lady was down on, was it 29th in Greenfield? And they had her Christmas Eve, was shot, killed with her 7-year-old son in the back seat. Another one that came across, two cars out here on 894 had an accident. They pulled off to the side. A third car pulled off. Good Samaritan got out to see if anybody needed any help. One of the ladies got out of one of the two cars that had the accident. Fourth car comes by, hits the Good Samaritan, hits the lady. She dies and has two little kids. He's taken to the hospital. And then, I think it was the same day that on I-41, somebody coming down the wrong way on the freeway, and they ran into a semi. Well, they survived. The semi driver wasn't hurt, but it had been a car, it wouldn't have turned out that well for any of them. But the point is that our lives can change in a hurry. And sometimes it's split seconds. It happens. Sometimes it's a slow thing. It just happens over a period of time. Like the stock market taking a dive, you know. What's it been, in a 2-year slump so far or whatever? Your retirement tanks. Or things get a little bit thin at work. People are kind of looking for things to do. And then the job, that pink slip comes along. Or maybe it's a health issue. You know, something isn't quite right, and you finally get up courage and go to the doctor and find out, yep, there's something we got to deal with here. How well are we prepared for change? Thing is, we don't know what's going to happen in 2023. You know, you got people on the news trying to tell you what's going to happen, and they don't know anything more about what's going to happen tomorrow than the next guy, but they have to say something. But, you know, the Lord's brought us through 20, 21, 22. Well, you think back. Okay, when I was born and all those years in between, Lord's been there. He'd been taking care of us up to this point. He's not ready to just go, ta-da, you're on your own, you know. He's going to take us through this one as well. But as we think about change for a few minutes, a few thoughts, and then we'll jump into the scriptures here. But I read this, and he says, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. How are you today? Are you comfortable? Those pews soft enough? Didn't used to have padding on them. Are you warm enough? Isn't it great to have heat? You know? Remember, here was it? Was that last week or whenever it was? We might have a gas outage. You might be hovering over a candle trying to stay warm. It didn't turn out that way, but, you know. How about our lives? You know, sometimes we can kind of like things the way they are. we might not think of it like that, but we're kind of comfortable in the rut that we're in. You know, we kind of like things to stay the same. We kind of know what to expect and maybe what's expected of us. And yet there are times when God brings changes into our lives. And maybe changes that, you know, if it were up to us, we'd just soon kind of take a pass on that one. Maybe it's news from the doctor for us or a loved one. And there's some disease or issue that is serious. Maybe not offered a whole lot of hope. You hear about that from time to time. Yeah, they went, they found out it's stage 4 or whatever. Or maybe it's an emergency operation. Something else that people are going through. How willing are we to let God reach into our lives and all the different areas of our lives? Our family, our relationships, our job, maybe our mental, emotional well-being, our finances, our health, kind of shake things up a little bit, even if it's for our good or for others' good. You know, I've said this before, but it's reality. You know, we're all only basically one doctor's visit away from a big problem that maybe we didn't know about. And other times we find ourselves coming into emergency care that we hadn't really scheduled in. Maybe we're going through some other changes. It may not be quite as dramatic as some of these I've mentioned, but there are changes nevertheless, and we need to learn to deal with them as they come along. And we've faced a lot of changes through the last couple of years, but you know, we haven't used them all up yet. It may have been somebody else's life that was being changed, and now it may be coming up to us. Well, let's look at a few things here today. First of all, examples of change that we've seen just here recently, that have seen at Christmas time. You know, we've celebrated Christmas, and yet there's a good example on how God brought change into two individuals' lives, really turned their lives upside down. And God had a job for Mary and Joseph to do. And no one else could do it. They'd been picked from eternity past for them to do this particular responsibility. And that God was going to work through them. But their lives, didn't say it was going to be easy. Didn't say it was all going to be fun. You ladies can identify that a whole lot better than us guys. But traveling by donkey or walking for many, many miles prior to delivery. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun there. But when the angel of the Lord appears to Mary, soon to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, we see her response there in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. It says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Have you in the past been willing to say that, or even yet today? Lord, let it be with me according to your word. In other words, Lord, you do with me what you wish. You speak, I'll listen, I'll obey. Well, we see here that God wants to bring changes into our lives, and to do so that we might be better equipped to serve him, to be more effective in serving others. And yet, how will God bring changes into our lives in 2023? What changes will he bring about? Only God knows. We don't. And then the question is, how are we going to respond to those changes when they come? Will we accept them or will we reject them? Will we see them as a blessing or a curse? Will we accept what appears to be good from God and yet at the same time reject or fight against what appears to be something bad from our perspective? that God sees fit to allow to come into our lives. Not bad luck, not an accident. No, God allowed it to come in there for a reason. Will we receive only the blessings from God and fail to accept his correction or maybe even his chastening, his trials, his difficulties? How willing are we to deal with change? Will we be like Mary and say, Lord, whatever you want? Or do we want to be used in a great way in this coming year? See, the first thing that needs to take place in our hearts and lives is that we need to have come to that point where we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the starting point. And we trust God with our salvation and to do what his word says, that he will forgive us of our sins. He will give us that gift of eternal life. And folks, if you're here today and have never made that decision, it's one you need to make and not put off. And it's the only way that we can be forgiven. It's the only way that we're going to get to heaven. And there is no other way. And the thing is, if we can trust him for eternity, can we trust him? Will it look like we're trusting him today? Tomorrow, next week? Or will we worry and become a frazzled mess because, you know, we're not in control of one thing or another in our lives? Can we accept the changes that he wants to bring into our lives that's ultimately for our best? Again, as we think about it, God loves us. And as our Heavenly Father, he only wants what's best for us. And he's only going to allow what's best for us to come into our lives. And so he's the screening process, if you will. And so even though from our perspective, this may look good, this may look bad, God says, no, it's going to be used for good. Either in your life or in somebody else's, it's going to impact. And we see from the scriptures some individuals whose lives were definitely changed by God and ultimately for good. Now, not everything that happened in their life was good, but God worked it out for good for them or for those to whom that they were working with. And so we want to look to see how it worked in their life and to realize that same God that was working in their lives is working in our lives today. Okay? And we're looking at Hebrews, if you want to turn there for a few moments. Hebrews chapter 11, that's often referred to as the faith chapter. We got kind of quite a list there of individuals that are seen as men and women of faith. And a little bit of information there about them. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the first one we notice here is that of Noah. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and because of the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And so we got Noah here. His life was changed when God told him to build the ark, that the flood was coming. And it wasn't just a rough week or two or a month or a year. Moses was putting up from flack from people for over 100 years as he built that ark. He was the laughing stock, you know. If people come to town, hey, let's take them out and show them Noah's ark. Yeah. And so he's laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed. And he preaches, again, for a thousand years. It probably seemed like that. 100 years, okay? He's telling them, folks, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. There's going to be a flood. You need to be ready. And for 100 years, the only ones he's able to convince is his own family. And yet, we see here, he remained obedient to the Lord. He didn't just, oh, well, I tried. I gave it my best shot. I'm going to just go along with the rest of them now. No, God brought real change into his life. It was a tough go for a long, long, long time, but it all worked out in the end and ultimately saved him and that of his family. Abraham, he was another one that experienced change in his life. God spoke to him, told him, pack your bags, time to leave, pack up. You're going to leave for a new land there in verse 8. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whether he went. Okay. What do you think, ladies? Hubby comes home one day and says, we're moving. I got the U-Haul truck rented. We're going to pack tomorrow. And then we're leaving. Where are we going? Don't know. Ooh. Don't know. You say, where are we? Don't know. We just got to go. His life was changed. And yet he was obedient to the Lord. Okay? He didn't have, it wasn't all laid out, you know, in nice chapter by chapter. You know, God was going to tell him what he was going to do and how he's going to do it. And, you know, and then if it met Abraham's approval, he signed here on that. So I accept these conditions, and then it went into play. No, his life was changed forever. He left home, never went back, never saw mom, dad, all the relatives, the rest of them along the way. And yet God blessed him. It took a while, but he ended up having a son, Isaac. There's a whole lot more to these stories, but accounts. Let's think of that. Okay. You're somewhere between 80 and 100, and you have a new baby in the house. At 1 and 3 and 5. Oh, you thought you're tired now. Wait. Yeah, but it was a blessing. I mean, they had wanted this baby for a long, long time. And God ultimately brought changes in their life. They learned to adapt. They learned to accept the changes. God was good to his word. Joseph, another one that comes along here. Look on up to verse 22. It says, and by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Okay, so here it's talking about Joseph, but we back up a little bit before he died, okay? And his life was changed one day. Not just one day, but a whole lot of days. But the big one that kind of got the ball rolling was the day that his brothers decided, we've had enough of this guy. Let's sell him into slavery. You know, after they decided, at first they were going to kill him. Well, might as well make a few bucks out of the deal and sell him into slavery. What if that happened to you? Now, it's not likely your family's going to sell you into slavery, but they could just kind of disown you, not want anything to do with you anymore. How would you deal with that change? And that's kind of what was happening to Joseph. And so, he, you know how the account goes. And we see here that he ends up down working for Potiphar, comes up through the ranks, ends up being kind of over everything in the Potiphar's household, that things are looking good until Potiphar's wife decides to make some accusations, false accusations against you. Okay, you're still the slave. She's the boss's wife. Guess who wins? And so he goes to jail, and he's there for a period of years. He's in prison for something he didn't do. How do you deal with being falsely accused? Has that ever happened to you? Somebody ever lied about it, lie about you, something you said, did, or whatever? How do you deal with that? The anger, the hatred maybe even, being kept from becoming bitter over time for something like that. Now, we know the rest of the story. We know how it worked out for Joseph. That even though all these seemingly bad things happen to him, God elevates him. He's second in charge of all of Egypt. God uses him to spare the upcoming blooming nation of Israel and protected him and his family. It was a tough go there for quite a while. And it was probably tough dealing with some of the changes that came along. But in the end, God blessed him and used him for good in the lives of others. Well, then Moses comes along, verse 23. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so here we see Moses is got a lot of changes going on, some of which happened before he even knew what was going on. He didn't remember the ark and the bulrushes and all the rest of that. And you may remember how the Lord worked it out that his own mother was able to raise him up as a young little boy. But ultimately, he's raised in the palace by one of the princes there. And you say, well, you know, I could handle that. I could handle growing up in the palace. You know, kind of like growing up in Buckingham Palace. Lots of places to hide, lots of things to do. Trying on all the old armor and all that stuff. No, but you realize your own people are being treated like slaves. And then he gets old enough that he decides he's going to try to do something about it. Well, we look on a little bit further here, verse 24 and following. He says, "And choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense for the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." And so we see here, there's a lot of things going on that we're kind of skipping over, but in the process of all this, Moses ends up in a fight with an Egyptian and kills him, tries to hide him, but the word gets out what happened, and no doubt he's a hunted man, but he's also making that choice. Rather than, you know, he could have stuck around and dealt with that issue, but he didn't. He left, and he does depart from Egypt. He's out of town, and next thing we know, we find that he's on the backside of the desert. Now, I don't know that much about deserts, and I'm just kind of guessing here, but I'm guessing the backside of the desert, maybe not as quite as nice as the front side of the desert, okay? And he's there for 40 years. Okay, so he goes from being royalty to being a shepherd. And, you know, it might be okay for, you know, a week. Okay, it's a nice break in routine. But this lasted for 40 years. And so God brings along changes in his life. It wasn't for naught. God was in the process of teaching him humility, learning to depend on the Lord, and a lot of other things he was going to need if he was ultimately going to lead God's people out of Egypt. And all these changes that bring about, that God allows to come into our lives, are not necessarily ones that we'd get all excited about if we had some kind of prior notice. And that might be part of the reason why God doesn't allow us to know what's coming. Because if he did, we might be running the other way. But the Lord knew that he was going to use Moses in a great way. And there were some steps along the way that Moses needed to take to be ready for that responsibility. But we see that God brings changes into our lives too. And he doesn't ask for permission or for our approval. He is an all-wise God. We need to remind ourselves of that. He knows what's best for us. We may think we know what's best, but sometimes we're mistaken. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for God's saying this, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows the expected end. He knows what the goal is. He knows what his will is for your life, okay? He knows what he thinks about you and me. He knows what he's going to do with us and through us. He knows that there's going to be some changes along the way, but they're ultimately for our good. They're ultimately for our peace, not for evil. And so we ought to look to the Lord before the change comes, in the middle of the changes, and after the changes take place. We find in Lamentations, maybe you want to look there. I'll give you 5 minutes to find that. That was supposed to be a joke. Okay. Psalms, Proverbs. Jeremiah. Here we go. Lamentations, chapter 3. I haven't you turn there because these are some good verses. You got to know where they're at. We sing songs about them. Lamentations 3, verse 22, actually, says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, it says here that God is our portion. And there in verse 24. And that may or may not include a lot of this world's goods. Okay? As they were dividing up the land of Israel into the various tribes, they get to the tribe of Levi, where Aaron and the priests come from. And they weren't given land like everybody else. You know, and same way in this world, okay? Some have more, some have less, some have considerably less. But we see here the Lord's promise is still good no matter where we fall on that line, that he promises he'll watch over, he'll care for us, he'll meet our needs, right? In Numbers 18:20, it says, the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. So we see there, verse 24, that the priests weren't given property like all the other people. It says, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So the Lord was providing for them, but he was doing it through the people. And that's kind of the way it works here for pastors and missionaries and others. But the Lord uses the offerings of people to supply their needs. You know, and the thing is, God may work in our lives in a way too, that whether we're on the giving end or the receiving end of this, they gave offerings, they learned to give tithes and offerings. That's a learning process. You don't just grow up learning to tithe. A lot of people never learn that. But those who do are blessed. And but he says here, again in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That's where our hope needs to be. Our assurance needs to be in the Lord, okay? Not in our bank account or something else that we think we can hang on to. Our hope is in the Lord, because the rest of that stuff can kind of disappear in a hurry. You know, you hear scary stuff about, you know, digital money and all the rest of that stuff. If it disappears like that one, I don't remember his name, but the one that ran off with billions of other people's money, you know. Anyway, that's another story. But, you know, as I mentioned this earlier here today, but it's something we ought to think about and be even like we sang here, to be thankful to the Lord. Where would we be today without the Lord? You know, some of us might be laying in bed nursing a hangover about now, okay? And that's called celebrating, okay? Way to bring in the new year with your stomach churning and so on. Now, we have, God is our incomparable portion. There's nothing like this. He's center stage of our hearts and lives. And we are indeed blessed to have the Lord there who loves us and cares for us. We may have other people that love and care for us, but they can't care for us like our Heavenly Father is able to care for us. He is sufficient to meet every need. Okay? Have you been to the store lately looking for something and it's not there? The shelves kind of empty for one reason or another. Okay? We have some kind of problem in transportation, getting it to where it needs to go. Well, we see here, we're not going to have that problem with the Lord. Okay? He doesn't have a problem getting what we need to us and at the right time. And some of that I call God's math, right? Because on pen and paper or even sitting down with your calculator, it doesn't add up. It doesn't, you can't make it work, okay? Because what's missing there is what God can do. And I'm just sharing this in my own life because this is one of the ways that I experienced it, okay? And you probably have your own examples for this. But God's math, okay? Let's see, was it last Monday, I guess it was, December 26th, 42 years ago, God led us from Des Moines, Iowa, and plopped us into Albert Lea, Minnesota, okay? And that's where we're going to be for the next 8 years. But when I left town, I had now some of you, anybody worked at UPS at some point? Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, but anyway, at that time, it was a really good job. It was only a part-time, but it paid as well as a full-time job in many cases. And I had a part-time job there. I had a part-time job at Sears as well. And I left those jobs and really took a cut in pay to go to be a full-time pastor. But you know, the thing was, on pen and paper, it wasn't going to make an awful lot of sense, but God worked it out. He made it work, okay? When we came to Milwaukee, I didn't get a whole lot more than what I was getting financially there in Minnesota. And I found out after I got here, things were quite different on the housing market. it was like an exact replica of the house that we had just sold. We sold it for $38,000, and the house I found was $93,000. There's a gap in there somewhere, okay? And then the place that we rented, okay, I'm telling you more than you need to know, but this is what I was working with, okay? We were buying our house, okay, for $300 a month, okay? And we came over here, and we rented to start with, but to rent, it cost me $600 a month. And then I was still paying on the one over there that I wasn't living in. So I wanted to get rid of that one in a hurry. And again, I realized I was in a bubble, but it was my bubble. And that's how I was operating. We were paying $300 a year in taxes. 1 year it went up to $350. What is going on around here? And you come over here and you're paying that much a month. You know, and it was like $1,800, you know, it's like six times as much. Again, God's math. God made it work, you know. And sometimes we look at things and from the perspective, you know, just looking at all the facts, it may not make an awful lot of sense. But let's don't forget God's a part of this and he can make things work in ways that we just don't know how. All right. He's able to do that. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and the cup Thou maintainest my lot. Okay? God maintains our lot. He is watching over the books of our life, if you will. He's able to balance things out. Okay? God is sufficient to care for us. Look, if you would, to a familiar passage. Look at Romans 8 for a couple moments here. Romans chapter 8. And we see in Romans chapter 8, in verse 31 and 32, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He provided salvation through his own son. You know, if he's going to provide salvation for us, folks, that's the best gift that he could ever give. He's not going to forget about all the other stuff that we need, food, clothing, shelter, what have you. All right? God is our sufficient portion. He's our eternal portion. Okay? God's supply is never going to run out. There's never going to be a supply problem. He's promised to care for us now, but also through eternity. And I think this is on the back side. This probably should be number 7, but there is none on your sheet there. But he's preparing another change for us, a change in residency. One of these days, he's going to call us to heaven, either by death or by the rapture. And when it happens, heaven's going to be ready for us. Now, I remember this is a long time ago, okay? This 40 plus years ago now, Maureen and I were married. And we'd been through several airports already. And finally get to the hotel that we were going to stay at for a few days. And though we were there at the right time, the room wasn't ready. And, you know, we've been up for a long time at this point, and we're sitting in the lobby there, leaning on one another, snoozing, waiting for our room to be ready. Folks, when we get to heaven, God's not going to be setting up. Just a moment, folks, you know, setting out the folding chairs outside the gate. Just, you know, get in line. you go to the restaurant, you know, 15, 20, how long do you want? 45 minute wait. Let's go somewhere else. No. It's going to be ready for us. He knows we're coming. And there's not going to be any guesswork here. We look at John 14, and it says, right now, he's preparing a place for us. Okay? And oh, what a place that's going to be. And the changes that God is going to bring into our lives, we're going to have to wait on his timing, though, right? We don't need to help him out. You know, we'll get there when we're supposed to get there. And it's not something we can make a phone call. You know, once in a while you can make a phone call, and it will change things. And I kind of laugh at this one, and nobody knows what he said, but neighbor next door to us, she'd had a new roof in August. And they tore the old one off and put the new one on in one day. And they had a dumpster sitting in the driveway. And it sat there for August and October and November, you know. And we had the kids at our house at Thanksgiving, and we're talking about some of this. And Jonathan was asked a couple questions and never heard any more. And somehow he called up the place, and the neighbor's saying, "I sure wish I knew what he said." But he called them up and said, "I think they're going to be, you need to move the cars out of the driveway. They might be coming to get that dumpster." Yeah, sure, it's been sitting there for 3 months. A couple hours later, truck pulls up. I don't know if it was you getting it or not. Hooks that thing up, and away it went, you know. And neighbor says, "Boy, I sure wish I knew what he said." I asked him later. I said, did you call from your office phone? And he works for a law office. And I thought, maybe they saw that and thought, uh-oh. But he never told me what he said. But it worked. Once in a while, you can make a phone call and things happen, all right? Well, we don't have to. Well, we can make phone calls, all right? And there's no charge for long distance. We can talk to the Lord right here, now, today, tomorrow. Okay? And but the thing is, God's in charge of the timing. But we also need to be prepared to deal with the changes that may come along. And, you know, God may have some interesting things for all of us to learn and to experience before we're done with it. But we have promises that we can hang on to. You're already here in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 25. He says, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay, we don't always see what's coming. We have to take it by faith. We hope for it. And yet the Lord will supply, but we have to wait on God's timing of it. And it reminds us again that God knows what's going on. He knows when he's going to bring about the changes. And here's a familiar verse. Look on down to verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Just a reminder. He didn't say all things are good. But he says God takes all things together for good. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you hear the baking. You know, you don't take a spoonful of flour and boy, that's sure good. No, or whatever else that's mixed in there. You can tell I'm a baker. I eat it. I don't make it. And you're ought to be happy about that. But the thing is, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. He works it all out for good. And one of those good things he tells us is there in verse 29. God's ultimate purpose in bringing about changes and working all things out for good. He says, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, okay, so God knew you a long time ago. He also did predestinate to be conformed, also means change, to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's ultimate goal is to make us like Christ, okay? Not that we're all going to look like him, okay? But that our character, the qualities of our life are going to be like Christ. He's going to conform us to Christ's image, and he's going to change us, and it's going to be for our good. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says, in a moment, okay? You see some of these things that they advertise nowadays. You know, buy this cream. And if you put it under your eyes, it's magic. All those wrinkles will go away. You know, or whatever else that they're trying. Oh, yeah, I saw one the other day. I'm going to start using it myself. You got that creepy skin? You rub this stuff on? Oh, it does wonders. Look at the difference, you know? Yeah, no, here God says it's going to happen just like that, all right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, okay? So we're going to be changed. It's going to be for the good, not evil, but the good. One more passage here. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3 says, beloved, talking to fellow believers here, now we are the sons of God, and we are as believers. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't know how all this is going to take place. We don't know what the finished product is going to look like, but God does. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what God's going to do. So what do we do in the meantime? He says, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, or the Lord, is pure. Okay? So just don't wait till spring cleaning, okay? Have New Year's cleaning. Maybe there's some junk in our life that needs to be cast out. Purify ourselves for the Lord. You know, 23. Folks, that might be the year. And we're out of here. Okay, wouldn't that be awesome? You know, Lord's got some changes in that for us, and ultimately it's going to be for our good. And we need to be prepared to meet those changes and to accept them, even when it might not be look like such a good thing. God's got something good down the road for us or for somebody else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We can count on you. We've had people here in the last couple of months make a lot of promises, one thing or another, what they're going to do if they get elected into office. And they might be one of 500 or one of 100 or whatever the number might be. Boy, if I get in there, this is going to happen. They can hope that it will happen, but it doesn't mean it's going to. But when you tell us something, it's going to happen like the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We're going to be out of here. We can count on it. It's going to happen. And so, Lord, we just pray you'll continue to help us as we come into this new year to have our confidence in you, not in promises that people or politicians or anything else that people might somehow seek to influence us by. But we can count on you. Help us to be students of your word, that we know those promises and that we can claim them. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be an encouragement to others around about us, to keep looking up, that the Lord's coming back here one of these days. Help us to be purifying our own hearts, be ready for that day when it comes. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to look at a closing song, 271. Standing on the promises. And you know the old thing, you can't stand on the promises while you're sitting on the premises, so you gotta stand. 271. Let's sing the first and last. Lord bless you. Happy New Year. Have a great day.